Thank you. My name is Aaron Capulso, overeater and a diabetic. I'd like to thank everybody for being here tonight. But to begin, my name is Larry, and this is my very first time sharing, so I'm feeling a little nervous, but I'm very grateful to be able to share. It takes a lot of courage to be that kind of messy in front of a room full of people. Sharing your truth, especially the parts that aren't polished or wrapped in a bow, but I wanted to try tonight. Three questions I feel should be answered in the share. One is, what was it like before OA? And two, what brought you to OA? And what is it like now? And I'll start with a little of my history. I was born on November 20th, 1957 in Wichita, Kansas. My father had been in the Navy and was honorably discharged with a wasn't as an electrical engineer. My family and I moved to California in 1962, and unfortunately, I grew up in an alcoholic home. My dad drank, and you know, I'm not sure what all people feel about that, but it's rough for a child. I remember early childhood; I was always on pins and needles. If something dropped or something happened, he was quick to judge and quick to act. In my youth, I didn't receive the really kind of support that I wish I'd had. I loved my father, but he was an alcoholic and just could not express those feelings as a normal father could. Both my mom and he worked. I had two siblings, older brother and a younger sister. And once in California, I attended obviously a elementary, junior high, and high school. I was active in sports. You know, I think I'd mentioned this before that I was in wrestling, I was in football, and I was in pretty good shape. I remember especially in wrestling, those men who might have been partakers in those particular workouts, we worked out really, really hard. It's funny, the football players were coming after their season and would try out for the wrestling team, and they washed out because we simply were pushed and pushed and pushed, and we were in great shape. I vividly remember one wrestling match, and I wanted to bring this out. My father had not attended any matches. I lettered 3 years in a row and had not attended a single match. And I mentioned this to my sponsor. That night, I should have won. I was favored. I had to that point been contributing to the team, but I was so frustrated with my father showing up that I threw the match. And it's hard to think back and just realize the frustration involved. After graduating from high school, I felt like I wanted to be involved in Christian ministry. And I'd always been in the church, always worked hard. And I attended a Christian school in San Dimas. I got my high school degree, and I also got a Bible college degree. And I wanted to be involved in Christian ministry. I found my wife. She happened to be my pastor's daughter. I married her. She was a preacher's kid. And they don't necessarily have the best reputations. I think maybe because of the extra pressure they're put under by their parents. But I loved her. She was a beautiful lady. My wife, as mentioned, was a pastor. After graduating from college, I went to work for him. I worked in different facets of the church. You name it, I did it. If the toilet needed to be cleaned, I cleaned the toilet. If the floor needed to be mopped, I mopped the floor. If the choir needed to be led in a Christmas cantata, I led the Christmas cantata. If we needed to build up our youth department, I was youth director. So did more or less anything I asked to do, which was fine, and I enjoyed that greatly. It was a great blessing to work in his church. We had, as I mentioned, two kids, a boy and a girl. And unfortunately, after graduating and beginning to work in ministry, my wife became very ill early on. She had a heart condition. And because of that, I had to go get a full-time job. And I worked as a in warehouse management for 27 years. And I still helped the church. During that time, my son came to help me disabled and ended up many times in hospitals, and even up till recently last year. But I'm here for him. I told him my wife had developed a heart condition, and she passed away on December 24th, 2013, after 37 years of marriage. And that's a long time. And so I'm an older gentleman, if you haven't noticed. But it was heartbreaking. And I think I maybe blame God for that occurrence that my wife had passed and left me with my son. Believe it or not, I prayed that he'd take me and not her, but that's not God's will. Whatever he throws us, we have to deal with. I became depressed, and that's before journeying away. And I'd written a poem, and someone in the group had mentioned that she wanted to hear it again. And it's called Psalm of the Hiding God, based on Psalms 22. He cried out in agony, my God," that was the oldest cry. Worn smooth by every mouth, in almost every situation that ever meant it. You were here, you were near, the stories told me so. But now, nothing. The same sky, the same hands, the same prayer. Returning to me unanswered, a stone dropped into a well with no bottom. Yet the fathers cried, and they were there, and you were there. Yet the mothers wept, and you were there. I did not feel it, but I believe it now. And this was a change in my life, having joined away. Anyway, this is the heart of faith, the one that cost, the one that counts. One more chance. That's where I am today. In no way watching miracles happen. So question two, what brought you to OA? And I'd been exposed early on with OA, or actually with 12-step. My son had been in a drug rehab program, and I was in Al-Anon and attended meetings with him for different programs. So I understood what the 12-step program was. I'd just never personally been involved in it. I'd gotten really frustrated. I felt powerless. I was somewhat depressed. But my heart needed to change, and I knew that maybe the 12 step would work for me. But it required something first, and that is that I make the change, that I decide to participate. And I wrote something that says, it said, just to know for sure who said it. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If nothing changes, nothing changes. It's a short way of saying that if you don't make any effort to change your current actions or circumstances, i.e., example, not participating in the steps, or not staying abstinent, or not working your program, you can't expect to see any good or lasting results. And I've come to understand that, and seeing the results today, and very thankful for them. So I started attending this group on May 24th of last year. So I've got a little over a year. I know there are a lot of people with more time and more recovery, and they've been in the program for a long time. But I'm still relatively new. I would assume I'm new. I began steps one through three, and I fixed my relationship with my God. And I'd let that slip because I was holding things against him. Then I needed to ask forgiveness for not believing. But regret had formed in my heart, and I just couldn't do it. And as I've mentioned many times before, regrets are a great hindrance to anyone in this program. If you're an alcoholic, or if you're a drug addict, or if you're an overeater like myself, if you're holding things out and from your higher power, if you're not allowing him to work the program, if you're not looking at your friends around you and those that are actually getting something done and you're seeing it done, then you're the one what's the problem. You're the one holding out. And as I'd mentioned, there were certain resentments and fears. Then I got some couple of good sponsors. One's very familiar, but they were a great help in my life. And I began to work the steps one through three in repairing that my relationship with my higher power. And that's been a great blessing in my life. God had always been a lot to me, and I had always served him as best I could. But there, if you turn your maybe your heart the other way and you kind of leave the situation, you can slip. You can just decide not to participate. Work step four, doing a moral, concise inventory. Made a confession to God, to myself, and forgave myself. And to another human being, another sponsor, which I'm very thankful for. I actually had two sponsors that I worked my step for, and one started and the other finished, but it worked, and I'm seeing some miracles. As I mentioned there, that when I got to step five, confession to God, to myself, and to another human being, that relationship with God had to be repaired. There had been a real hurdle that occurred there. I'm continuing to work the later steps, including trying to make amends. And in my case, step nine, a few of those amends could not be done in person. I'm 67 years old, and when you reach our age, a lot of our friends disappear out of our lives. It's hard, but it's part of life. And I just obviously couldn't make those amends. And I prayed about it. It settled in my heart. And I think my God is fine with it. As long as I was honest and wanted to seek forgiveness, that he settled the situation for me. I'm trying to get back service. I had mentioned starting a group, and it had a great idea, the Afterglow Unity Group. We've seen some newcomers almost every meeting. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to serve in that way. And, you know, we have 8, 10 new people. It's an hour that had not been used before. And we're seeing some definite things occurring there that are very positive. Three, what it's like now. So that's the third question. What it's like now. Trying to walk the steps. I'm trying to share my hope. I'm trying to share my recovery. Trying to share my miracles. And in my case, I've lost weight. Not as much as I'd like. I've had a few health issues, like mending a cast off and out for, I think, 5 times out of the last 5 years. So just not being able to exercise as I would like to. Definitely can't go swimming because it didn't. Cast and water just don't mix. But it's working. I've stumbled along the way, but haven't lost hope in a program that works. I haven't been perfect. I've slipped, just like all of us have. But I'm still working at it. I'm trying, and I'm seeing results. And I was going to mention, what's always meant a lot to me, and I don't know why. Let me see. The three-legged stool. And I was going to mention it. Oral recovery is a balanced triangle. If one side is weak, the whole structure can lean. and become unstable and incapable of standing. And that's what I understand my program is. It's got to be balanced. Physical effort. And as much as we don't like working, it requires effort. Do you have a plan? Have you made your red light, green light, yellow light list? Are you working the no sugar, no bread? Are you doing something? It takes effort to see the changes that you know are possible. And then obviously emotional honesty. And just speaking my feelings and feeling them. Be honest. You know, if you slip, then admit it to yourself and to your sponsor. Make some phone calls and let people help you to get over that emotional hump and spiritual. Trust not my will, but thine be done. It's what I've always felt about my God. I'm trusting in a power greater than myself to handle life stresses. And I know he'll do it. And I want to look at one more thing to finish up. A while back, in a positive affirmation, I had written something. And I would like to challenge you, and I'm going to read it. May you be blessed with peace that surpasses understanding, with joy that lights your way, with love that fills your heart. May abundance flow into your life, bringing comfort by his peace, joy, and love. Amen. Thank you so much.